The market is open once again. Ohio State has reached the midway point of the season. And welcome to The Beat, where it is time to break down the stocks. He's Jeremy Birmingham. I'm Austin
Wolf. Tyrone Malone.
I want to do it differently.
Oh, shoot.
Not individual
stocks.
Dang it,
I was trying to get ahead of it.
I know. I wanted to keep you on your toes, keep America on their toes. Uh-huh. You know, we can't just keep doing the exact same thing every single week. So I'm going to give you a handful of commodities.
Okay.
For Ohio State, as they get ready to
travel. You see gold is over $4,000 an ounce.
Is that right?
Yowza.
Well, that is a good time to sell Cougarans, if you've got any. And my parents gifted me some for my
birthday.
What
is Cougarans?
Oh,
buddy. Is that Cougar Gold, the cheese?
Let's get it. Let's get into it. We'll talk about those stocks.
Cougar Gold, the cheese from Washington?
No, I haven't.
It's tremendous.
We're off to a great start. We were going to talk about Ohio State football, but now the actual stocks have infiltrated the show.
Sorry.
I will give you Buckeyes Commodities. They head to Camp Randall on Saturday. They play 3:30 at CBS. Uh-huh. And you tell me, buy or sell.
Okay.
And let's begin where I think this entire week is going with the Ohio State run game.
Am I allowed to hold?
No.
Okay. As of today, I sell because I just don't know that it is going to get where you need it to get this year for it to be something you can rely on in a third and four situation or a third and three or fourth and one against a team like anyone that's good, for example.
Like a playoff opponent.
A playoff opponent. It has not been, now, unless Ohio State's just, unless we're including the quarterback sneak in that conversation, which has been super effective, I'm not sure that I don't personally believe the combination of skill set between what the offensive line does best, which is clearly pass protection, what this group of running backs does best, which is not really one cut go type of runners, except for Bo Jackson, who we're not sure about his status right now. We expect that he's going to practice, but we'll see. Now, this is all to say, if Bo's himself, his workload's going to keep increasing. We're going to see more of him in the passing game. We're going to see the offense opening up around Bo Jackson. We saw him returning kicks. Like, they're going to find ways to let Bo Jackson, as I said on Tuesday Snap Judgments, take the run game as far as he can take it. But if Bo is getting 10 carries a game or less, I don't think it's committing to the bit enough.
Okay.
Because it's not a knock on anybody else. I think there's a time and a spot for C.J. Donaldson. I think there's a time and a spot for James Peoples to be influential and impactful. Bo Jackson needs to be the starting running back, and he needs to be the running back who is in the game in most instances. And if he's not capable of doing that, then I just don't think the run game is going to be – it's not – if Ohio State's going to win a national championship, it's going to be in spite of the run game, not because of. Whereas last year, I think it was because of with what we saw – developing at the end of the year and the Will Howard edition. I just don't think that this year's team has that. It's not like they're not mean and nasty. Those offensive lines, like a big group of dudes who like to put people in the dirt, but
yeah.
I'm just not sure it fits their skill set.
Yeah, I think maybe I'll be proven wrong. I'm still buying it. I don't believe that the sample size, while it's six games deep, the number of reps and the first timeness with all of these
guys, true.
Like, if there was one thing that was continually happening to Ohio State, I'd be like, well, that's it. They can't do it. I don't even know why they're trying. Yeah. Like, give it up and focus on what you do best. But on some plays, it might be an issue with blocking up front, run blocking up. And like we've talked about Tegra Shibola and right guard rotation and Josh Padilla getting in there. Maybe that will be a solution that presents itself in the second half of the season. But that has not been a recurring theme. It's been an occasional issue. The perimeter blocking, whether that is the tight ends or the wide receivers, has not been an every down thing. And we will focus, of course, on Jeremiah Smith not getting that block made for him by Max Clare and Austin Sarabelle. Like, that doesn't happen a ton. It's happened a handful of times. And then there's the element that we mentioned on Tuesday on Snap Judgments. That part may not change. Julian saying, I don't think Ryan Day and Brian Hartline and Billy Fessler are ever going to be like, you know what? Do what Will Howard at 6'4", 230 pounds did a year ago and just be a wrecking ball. Like, that part of the run game is not going to exist.
Yeah.
And I think, again, maybe that's giving too much benefit of the doubt and betting too much on the first timeness, but there's still half of a season to go. Bo Jackson is a true freshman, and if they have figured out that that's what's going to work and there's going to be schemes that they can build around him, that won't surprise me. If Ohio State gets into a playoff scenario, what's the one thing that we've seen absolutely nothing of that may help the run game and the passing attack? Tempo. In a talent-equated matchup game, I just don't believe that there's a world where Ohio State would not be deploying that to great effect and keeping opponents and their personnel off balance. So we haven't seen that really at all. And the third part is, like, if and when Ryan Day has to get more involved in expanding the rushing attack, Tyler Bowen, Brian Hartline, whatever, Carlos Lachlan,
he will.
This is a very good coaching staff. Yeah. Like, it is one of the highest paid and one of the best in America. And some of this, maybe the first time this is also Tyler Bowen and Brian Hartline, still only 8 months into their professional relationship working together. And maybe I'm wrong about every single part of that.
You might be right.
But I might be right, too. Yeah. And I think the tempo part, I think, is the most critical part.
It is, because that's how you keep a defense tired, and that's how you stop rotation. That's how you stop all the other stuff that Illinois tried to do to Ohio State last Saturday.
And they did that, like, with great, probably illegal effects.
Right. But they it worked. And you know, there are pieces that I think that are open for tinkering. The 14 personnel, for example, all the time. If you're going to put that many blockers out there, why don't you just put Josh Padilla out there and move Tegra Shibola to another tackle? Like, because
if you need a blocking fullback, I'd love to see Cade McDonald.
I'm just not sure that Jelani Thurman, despite the leaps he's taken, is capable of being an every down effective run mauling block guy. I just don't see him being that. So we know Max Clair's not that. So if you have four tight ends out there and two of them aren't actually guys you can count on to block consistently, and even Will Kaczmarek, his numbers in the blocking, his grades for blocking this past week were not particularly great. Like, the wide receivers, if you want explosive plays out of your run game, you get it by perimeter blocking. You get it. We're not seeing a whole lot of that this year. So I think that there's a number of things that can fix it. I don't know that we've seen, and it's sort of the other side of your coin here. Like, yeah, the sample size is very small. So you're saying sample size is very small. It can be fixed. My thought is, well, the sample size is very small, and there's nothing to indicate that it has changed in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
That is where I get not negative, but just a little bit like, I'm going to back off of that just a little bit.
Yeah. And look, I mean, Wisconsin, I think they're a little bit of a statistical mirage, but going into the Michigan game, they were one of the best run defenses.
Oh, they were number one in the country.
And I think that was a product of who they were playing. They have two really good playmaking linebackers, but up front, they're not going to win the line of scrimmage against Ohio State. And like, if this is a game where Ryan Day is truly agitated and is like, this is going to happen, like, I kind of believe that they will have their way. Will that necessarily tell you that everything is magically fixed for playing a playoff opponent? You know, maybe not. But like, if they are adamant about having that success against Wisconsin, I bet they have it.
Probably. I mean, Ohio State finds a way.
They do. Life finds a way.
Yeah, it's like that dinosaur movie.
Yeah. Dino DNA.
Yeah.
All right. Defensive line depth.
Bye. It's also, there's a contingency in there, provided that Edric Houston is able to come back in the near future. We've not heard like anything about what's going on with him. So that's certainly something to pay attention to. But the effort and energy we saw out of Edric in the first half against Minnesota was like, oh, there
what
it is.
What a tease that
there
was.
There it is. And then you start to see now the raising of the play from Kenyatta Jackson. Now you see Will Smith playing 31 snaps and playing very well. And the story of the weekend to me last weekend was Tywan Malone. And now I think Zion Grady has proved that he's able to be that guy. He can go out there and play, and he's not going to have a major drop-off. Maybe there's a drop-off from Kenyatta Jackson and Caden Curry, but I don't see and haven't seen what I would consider a substantial drop-off from Bo Atkinson to Zion Grady. Logan George getting involved, maybe not like a playmaker, but he's not a play mistaker either. Like, he is getting in there. He's causing things to get bound up. He's got very strong hands, finding ways to be helpful. And then you can push along Jarquez Carter and other guys. I actually think the defensive line depth is getting significantly better. Now, you don't want to have a game like you had last Saturday where Caden McDonald has to play 50 snaps. That's too many. But once you get to playoff time, your best players have to play 50 snaps. So you better start preparing for it. So
yeah.
I think it's I would buy defensive line depth right now.
Yeah, I think it's way better than I anticipated it would be. And the thing that we stressed throughout the entire offseason, now we're six games into it, it was, well, you know what you're going to get from Edric and K-Mac in the middle, and one of the others has to elevate. And that happened during training camp with Will Smith Jr., and Tywan Malone was not quite on that same schedule, And also Edric Houston, we can't even currently factor into that at all.
We saw Jason Moore finally play, and I know there were some mixed reviews, but I thought he was in there at least clogging things up, and that's his job.
Well,
but and, also it's his first time playing,
and you have to get them out there.
Yeah, Tyjuan Malone is the perfect example of that.
100%. He game after game after game with the opportunity, and Ryan Day called it like becoming more confident. It's the only way you can do that is in a game.
Yeah,
and I know that Ohio State talks about iron sharpening iron and how valuable the practice reps are, and that they're going against, you know, Luke Montgomery and Tiger Shibola and Carson Hensman every day. And if you can't do it, if you can do it against them, you should be able to do it against anybody. But the situation is not the same as a practice to a game. And the stakes are obviously different. Those things are stating the obvious to some extent. But Tyjuan Malone is a person who has taken that opportunity in games and continued to grow. Saturday against Illinois was the best game of his career. And I think he can still play even better than he did in that game. And Will Smith has taken that opportunity and run with it. So now it's kind of flipped because you have found two guys who can elevate along with K-Mac.
Yeah.
And now you're like, if you get something from Edric Houston back, a healthy version, looking forward to seeing him and his spirits and just what he looks like walking off the field after practice when we get back here on Wednesday night, you know, then you're talking about something that's completely different than we anticipated. That's four plus maybe a bonus from Jason Moore as this goes along.
Plus a bonus from Arvel Reese, who becomes part of the defensive line plan because he's so good at pass rushing, but also because Peyton Pierce and the other and Riley Pettijohn have allowed them to use him around. Ryan Day talked ad nauseum on Tuesday about versatility and guys doing multiple things. And like you now are seeing, I know Arvel Reese is a linebacker according to his position, but like you can add him into this mix. And
he's a jack.
He's the jack. Ohio State has this position on its defense that it was much discussed for the last 3 years, but never seen.
He's the bullet jack.
Yeah. It's like the biblical definition of faith. You may not always see it, but you just have to believe. And I believed in the jack, and here it is.
Yeah. I mean, all it took was a different defensive coordinator to find it.
As opposed to not the guy whose entire career was built on it. Interesting.
Strange how that works. I think it's worth, in my mind, reiterating, because from what you're seeing as Tyjuan Malone elevates here and really Cade McDonald becoming one of he's an All-American. He has to be at this point. Right? Larry Johnson, seemingly his national reputation was built around Bosa, and Young. But to me, like year in and year out, it is what he gets out of guys who stick with his program, but defensive tackles specifically. Mm-hmm. The way that he unlocks the potential of those guys, whether they're three-tech or noses, if you stay for multiple seasons and trust that process all the way through, how many times have we seen it? Whether in
over and over.
He's Tyjuan Malone is now that latest example of guys who are truly tapping into that potential after multiple years of Larry Johnson.
Well, that's the thing. Like, this isn't Tyjuan Malone elevating. This is Tyjuan Malone finally reaching what everyone thought he was going to be when he came out of high school as a high four-star recruit who chose Ole Miss because he wanted to play baseball, like, and then put his football career on the back burner in some ways and cost himself probably 2 years of development. So like now you're just starting to see, like, this is what Ohio State would have gotten out of him by year three when he was 21 years old instead of 23,
doesn't
hurt to have a 23-year-old dude in the middle when you're playing up against 18, 19-year-olds.
That is a good point. How about the secondary situation? Where are you? They're already very good. It's tough to buy more.
Yeah, I mean, I'm buying.
But you have to.
We have been very clear on this show that we are fans of Lorenzo Styles and what he has done this season, especially regularly.
I guess let me say, do you think that there's a world
it's
where...
It's better if Jermaine Matthews is in the slot. Yeah. I mean, Jermaine Matthews is a better cover guy. He is more of a, like, again, it's the difference between Tanner McAllister and Jordan Hancock. Like, it is the leap.
Okay. Yeah. That's probably right.
And now you're going to see Devin Sanchez, who had moments against Illinois where he looked lost and
he looked like a true freshman.
That's what he is. So, like, now, but he's going to grow more confident. Same way Ryan Day talking about Tyjuan Malone, the more he's going to play, the more he's going to get confident, and then he's going to get better and better and better. And he better be, because Davis and Igbinosin told the country to stop throwing the damn ball at him. So it has to go to Devin Sanchez now. So Devin's going to be put in a position where he's going to sink or swim. He's got a little baptism by fire. I mean, not really, since we're in the Big Ten. It's baptism by like ice water for the next couple weeks until they play UCLA.
But Saturday was significant. significant. And I think that's worth bringing up because it is, let's tie that into this notion that Brett Bielema should have gone to more up-tempo and that there was nothing Ohio State could do about it. There is something they could have done about it, and there actually was. They forced three turnovers. So if they wanted to continue to put the ball in harm's way, I bet it wouldn't have worked for them. But Luke Altmyer and that collection of wide receivers is uniquely positioned to have found some element of success, the same way that Washington does. Now, Washington had zero success against Ohio State and Matt Patricia, and Illinois was able to generate two touchdowns. So full credit to them. But as you look forward, like, when is the next time Ohio State is going to see someone who can operate an up-tempo offense and a passing game that was as productive as Illinois? I don't see one in the
regular season. Crazy enough, like, it's the guy that Ohio UCLA, State forced to transfer in December. It's Nico Iaamilava. Nico and this rejuvenated UCLA team who's letting him do a bunch of things and doing it quickly. It's going to be one of those challenges. And I'm not sitting here like, oh my gosh, they're going to lose to UCLA. I'm just saying, like, there isn't another one that you're going to face the rest of the season. So it opens up the door for Devin Sanchez to now have basically a month of prep, a month of getting ready for that. Lorenzo Styles is going to tough it out. He's going to try to play. But from what I understand, it might be like AC joint issues in his shoulder. Like, those are not healable. Like, really, it's pain management. It's how much can you tolerate? So you never know, I think, for the rest of this season with him. Like, are we able to get a full rep? Are we able to get a full go?
Yeah.
And I know Lorenzo's going to do everything he can to be out there. But if he's not, I think Jermaine Mathis isn't. That, to me, again, back to the original comparison, it's Tanner McAllister to Jordan Hancock. And it's not because Tanner McAllister played poorly. He played in the NFL. He's still in the NFL, I think, on practice squads. But the ceiling with Jermaine Mathis in the slot is significantly higher because it requires no other trades. And the ceiling of Devin Sanchez as an outside corner is higher than the ceiling of Jermaine Mathis as an outside corner.
Yeah.
But Jermaine is in year three and Devin's in week six.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, there are plenty of people out there who believe that by this point of the season that somebody else would elevate with maybe a more splashy profile, more athleticism than Lorenzo. I think that is a little bit unfair in selling Lorenzo Styles short with his athleticism. But when you watch Jermaine in there, it's clearly different. And Ohio State is willing to do different things and trust him in coverage in a level that I don't know that, you know, Lorenzo is ideally suited to do in man-to-man coverage in tough situations. Like, we saw some of those slants, and it was like, you want to keep throwing those on Jermaine? Like, Jermaine would very much like you to keep trying, and you're probably going to throw more picks.
Because there were almost, like, two other ones that were over the middle that he and Igbinosin broke up on that RPO stuff. So.
And so that then puts, you know, a different level of pressure because we thought, you know, Bryce West will have to be ready, I think, at some point to go do that. Mm-hmm. And Aaron Scott, you know, they keep saying the way he's playing on special teams that he's earning opportunities. You know, he got some of them on Saturday against Illinois. But, you know, as the process plays out for Devin Sanchez, there may be times you're just like, you know, let's take a different drive here, take one off and you know, regroup a little bit. Because Illinois did have success when they once that confidence got fractured just a little bit on that drive before halftime. Mm-hmm. That can be a spiral that's tough to pull out of. Kudos to Devin Sanchez for doing it.
Yeah.
But like, they're,
and kudos to his teammates, especially Caleb Downs, for pulling him out.
For pulling him out of it. Like, but that's going to happen as a true freshman.
And, you know, it's going to happen when Bryce West, if Ohio State further along this season goes to that dime package that we saw Lorenzo Styles being thrown into last year, Bryce West will be the fish in that moment. And he's going to have to go through
by default.
As well. You have to. That's the way it works. There's always the guy you go after. Right now, it's probably going to be Devin Sanchez. So that's okay to me. It's like, well, if we have to throw the ball to this freshman wide receiver named Jeremiah Smith, I guess we will. Like, you're going to let Devin Sanchez become what he's going to be. And I know that his teammates are not going to allow him to get sad about it.
Yeah.
I know his coaching staff is going to keep him motivated and working on the right thing. I know his parents pretty well. They're not going to let him get down on himself. This is a week in, week out process, and he's going to get a lot of reps probably Saturday.
Yeah.
And he's going to get a week off. And then he's going to get a month to prepare for everything else.
I mean, he still seemed very confident when we talked to him on the notebook on Saturday.
Short memory, man. You got to have that as a corner.
Yeah, it's good for
the secondary up.
Okay. I think that's certainly fair. What do you make of the new transfer portal rules?
Well, they're dumb. I mean, they've always been dumb, but this is dumber. I mean, we've talked about it. We'll talk about it on Talking Stuff on Thursday. I'll have Mick Walker on. We'll do that for sure this week, since I'm not going to Madison this weekend. But it's idiotic. You simply can't have the teams in your leagues that make the most money for your leagues being screwed by rules all the time. You just can't. And I know people will, oh, it's first world problems. Ohio State doesn't need any more help. But in the past, if you had guys leave, let's say you won a national championship recently.
Okay, let me picture it.
And then you had
banners.
And then you had players leave your program after the national championship.
Okay.
You went to spring football and you could replace those players because there was another transfer portal window later. Right? Okay,
yes.
That doesn't exist anymore. And so
that seems unfair.
What do you do now? So you have to sign all your guys the first week of December, and then anyone on your team can leave 7 weeks later and you can't replace them. So how?
And by projecting that you might think that you need to, right, you could tell them to leave.
And you could tell them to leave, but you could also then tell the other, or you could say, we don't think you're going to leave. And then all the guys you have to sign in December are going to, well, why would I go back? All these guys are going to be back. It is a very poor decision by the NCAA, and I don't know. It will not last, because nothing does in this sport. It will change again, and this timeline, the January 2nd through January 16th, the playoff doesn't end this year. Ohio State will not win a national championship in 2026 until January 27th. Okay? January 27th is the national championship game.
I thought that was next year. It was January 27th.
I think it's this year. Well, yeah, next year, 2026, right?
Oh, you're talking about the Las Vegas one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's, they're going to win this year's national championship.
It's going to be late.
They will win this year's national championship after that deadline.
There are things they could have done around all of this, like let's get rid of week zero, just have that be week one and have everyone done.
What is the holdup on that, yeah, America? That it has to be done for the sake of the college football schedule, calendar, and the expansion of the playoff. What are we doing?
Yeah, like why do we need 3 weeks off in December? Let's just make it a two weeks off in December after the regular seasons. And
don't need any weeks off after the conference championship.
You don't need conference championship games either. So like there are tons of ways they could have done this in a way that would have been like much more equitable around the sport, and it's just not going to happen. And that it's very dumb.
Selling college football leadership. I just don't know who is making these decisions.
Yeah, that's the problem. We don't know who they are. It's just people who actually have nothing to do with football. It's just people who have nothing to do with football, nothing to do with operations of the football program. And they're doing things so stupidly because we have to pretend these kids are still going to class all the time.
Well, they do have to go to class to stay eligible.
They have to get grades. Unless they're Stetson Bennett. Then you don't even have to do that.
That's true.
You can still win a national championship while not graduating after 7 years.
That's true. That's a whole other conversation there. But I think we can all agree, America, to sell college football leadership. Maybe someday in our lifetimes it'll get better. But I'm pretty deep into covering college football, and it only seems to be getting worse. But we'll probably have some more optimistic things to talk about on Wednesday evening when we get back in here. Woody Wednesday for some snap judgments after we hear from Ryan Day, a handful of players, maybe a coach. I still would really like to pick James Laurinaitis' brain about what's been going on with Arvell and Sonny and the rise that has happened at that position, Peyton Pierce as well. That's on my wish list. I'd love to be talking about that, but we'll see what is up for discussion. We'll certainly be looking at Bo Jackson's injury status as well, Edric Houston, Lorenzo Styles, and so much more when we return. Thanks for joining us, though, on this Wednesday morning, a modified version of the Stock Watch on 97.1 The Fan's YouTube channel, 10TV, 10TV Plus, Apple, Spotify, Roku, anywhere you get podcasts. We appreciate you, as always, spending part of your day with us. He is Berm. I'm Austin. We'll talk to you later.